This podcast is for information and entertainment purposes only. The views and opinions expressed by the hosts and guests are solely their own and not intended to apply to another's personal situation. You should always consult with a qualified, licensed physician or other healthcare provider. By watching or listening to this podcast, you acknowledge you are of legal age to purchase and consume cannabis in your country or region. This podcast is for adults only, should not be used as a meal replacement, and may contain nuts.
Hey, and welcome to the very first episode of The Newbie and the Doobie. This is exciting, eh? First episode ever.
It's super exciting. This is my first time in an actual studio. I'm super nervous.
It's a tiny little box with some cushions on the side if things go a little bit nuts.
Yeah, it kind of looks like foam or something on the walls. Is that our protection?
I think anytime you define something as it looks like this or something is a very scary scenario. We are starting this podcast and launching it on 4/20. That I believe is, let's see, January, February, March, April. April the 20th, fourth month, 20th day.
Yes.
That's worth celebrating, is it not?
It is. There's a special reason why we celebrate 4/20, which we will get into later, but I have to wave my little flag here.
When we were preparing this podcast, we were like, do we have all of our notes? And MJ in particular was just saying, but can I at least have my flag? That was kind of the most important thing. So now that that's out of the way, we really don't have much else to go with other than what's on this little card here. Do we need to blow the whistles? I mean, you did bring these two traveling in today.
I did. I'm going to save mine later when we talk about the reason behind 4/20.
All right, so you have to stay tuned for that. Not only will you hear about the history of 4/20 and other stuff we're going to be talking about, but there is literally an opportunity for us to blow these whistles. Can I just blow it now?
You can blow your whistle to me.
Well, that's going to be exciting, isn't it? All right, so what's coming up here? What are we going to be talking about today?
All right, so today we're going to tell you a little bit about the podcast.
And we're going to be telling you a little bit about ourselves.
And, of course, the history behind 4/20.
And there's much more. Now, in regards to who we are, my name is Timmy Boyle. I'm a clean comedian, former youth pastor, and non-cannabis user.
And I myself am a cannabis advocate, medical consumer, and model.
So here we are in a podcast studio as a non-consumer and a medicinal cannabis user. Now, not only are we doing this podcast together, but we have been journeying life together here. Now, how is that even possible? How did a non-consumer connect with a consumer and then actually form some sort of relationship with that? Apparently, I've been discovering that's really very rare that those two worlds come together at all.
No, you're absolutely right, Timmy. I never thought it was possible. I generally didn't even have friends that didn't consume cannabis. And it wasn't because, you know, I turned my nose up at those people. It was generally the other way around. It's kind of like when you're single and your friends have kids. Or you have kids and your friends are single.
Or you have your friends' kids. That always gets awkward, but anyways.
That really would be awkward. But generally, if you have kids and your friends don't, you kind of lose touch.
Right.
And they don't hang out with you. So to be in a relationship with somebody who doesn't consume was not even a thought of mine, so.
Well, it definitely wasn't a thought of mine. I mean, the whole issue of cannabis, weed, marijuana. Apparently, I've been learning a whole lot that some of those terms, you can't even use some of the terms. Like, apparently marijuana is not the right word to use. No. I've been learning a ton by going through this process. I didn't even know anybody in my life that was, I'm going to say this, that was overtly a cannabis user, because I have a feeling a lot of the people in my life, had they been using it growing up in the church, they most likely were consuming, if that all, in a back room somewhere that it just wasn't discussed. And in fact, it was mostly frowned upon. So when we crossed paths, which was at an event, it's not like, you know, I was out looking for a cannabis user. I was hosting an event for, what was it? It was to help animals, cats, dogs.
It's called Fixed for Life. It is a community, it's like Yeah, they fix animals within the community.
So if you've got a broken animal, you can send them off, because you have a cat with a wonky tail, so I guess you can get that fixed there. But anyways, not to saying that if you have a cat that isn't quite perfect, perfect is, I guess, relative as well, right?
My cat is perfectly imperfect.
Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. My cat, Scooter, going down this route, who I might actually start to tear up now. But Scooter was the best cat in the world. Had a respiratory problem. Maybe cannabis caused it. I don't know. I don't even know if that's one of the side effects. But he had a respiratory problem. Had snot constantly. He has since passed away. But best cat in the world. We still have snot around the house though. As a remembrance of who he was. Anyways, that's a little bit of a side tangent, but that's what you're going to get on this show, a lot of side tangents. So I'm at this event hosting it. I'm emceeing, and it's basically like a 50s model. Would that be what it is? Or how would you describe it?
Yeah, so there were two aspects of the competition, we'll say. One was fundraising, and the other was the modeling aspect, dressing up as a 50s pinup. And I had actually done this event the year prior, and it's so interesting because I was totally fine. I was stoked. I was ready. I had my little rolling pin and my cute little baker's apron on, and I went out on stage and I looked at the judges and was fine. I looked at the audience and completely blanked out. I don't remember anything from that point until I got to the podium where the guy was asking me who I was wearing, and I was like, huh? So I had vowed that I was going to conquer that stage fright. So that's actually why I had gone back the next year. And I had created this ruse that I was going to bring some cannabis cookies. And I needed somebody to play a police officer. So that way I would be arrested or in trouble, right? Because I figured if I played some sort of role and theme out, that it would give me something to focus on and take my mind off the fact that I was so nervous and scared to be there.
Right.
And I couldn't find anybody to play the police officer. And the person who organized the event said, why don't you reach out to the MC of the event? And
that happened to me. Now, I got a random message saying, hey, I need you to come and be a police officer and pretend to arrest me.
Actually, I think the message was, hey, are you interested in role playing with me?
Yeah, it might have been that bold, but I was hard pressed for me to turn that down. Regardless, as a performer, I was like, well, this is just a great opportunity. So I went in there, and we had met briefly. You had these beautiful green cookies.
They were delicious. Were non-infused. I just want to add, because it was pre-legalization, and I was going to be giving them out. So
that's true. So we played that up, and you were one of the contestants. And throughout that entire day, I kept going over and having another cookie, and we were having that little bit of kind of back and forth. At the time,
We had no idea.
I was just playing it up for laughs.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, quite frankly, the cookies were very, very good.
Thank you.
From that moment, then we started to develop a relationship over the time. And you were actually the one who...
I was in disbelief when he told me this. I could not.
When you found out that I had never, ever tried cannabis.
At all.
I was like the golden child growing up in church for years. I was the one, you know, no smoking, no drinking, no drugs. Well, I did a little bit of dancing. I will admit that.
Roller skating does not count.
Yeah. Roller skating was on the fringe, depending on your denomination. But and actually, a phenomenal roller skater. I can tell you roller skating stories maybe as we go through this podcast. Those will come out. I love the concept of... defeating, challenging children, and 'cause I can beat any person at anything if they are 10 and under. And roller skating is no different. Anyways, it's a whole different side story. The point is, though, is that in the journey, and I told you I had never consumed cannabis at all growing up in the church. I wanted nothing to do with it, knew nothing about it other than it was the devil's grass.
Lettuce.
I think that's lettuce.
Oh, my God. The devil's lettuce.
It's not the devil's grass?
No.
I don't know. Well, that's hence why I am the newbie here. Now, So we didn't know anything, but that's the thing. We terms were all out there. Had mm-hmm. no idea what was going on with this thing. So you find out that I have never used it. So you take that opportunity to...
I think my exact words were, you've never had cannabis in your life. And you said no. I said, enter Mary Jane.
Everyone's got to have a purpose. So sure enough, as time goes on, I was in a stage of life where I was trying new things. And I wouldn't say at the time I had separated from the church per se, but I had definitely, I was at a stage of life where I was challenging myself and being more open to trying new things and getting past stigmas and trying to see what else was out there that I hadn't experienced, in what was a very, sheltered, but, I wouldn't say I wasn't one of those kids that, you know, we never talked about drugs or sex or anything like that. Like, it wasn't like that. Like, we watched, you know, Sex with Sue. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember that show. You know, I remember
I do every Sunday.
An episode, you know, where she stuck little felt hair patches on different parts of the person's body. And I thought that's wow. Like, I took, you know, if we could take screenshots back then, I would have. Like, that was super impressive. But so we were I was conservative, but not necessarily sheltered completely. But obviously cannabis was something that I had never even approached. And so you gave me my first opportunity to smoke a joint.
I did. I actually took you out to choose your own strain of cannabis, because in the cannabis industry, we say the nose knows. So you need to go and smell the cannabis. Unfortunately, I don't think we can do that right now.
No.
With everything that's going on. But you used to be able to go and actually smell the product at certain places. I won't say where, because, you know. You did have your first experience and actually felt nothing.
Yeah, and before we go into that experience, I do want to say this is why, what the stories we're going to tell on this podcast, this is why we wanted to start the podcast in the first place.
Absolutely.
Because it was, we're coming from two very different worlds and two very different experiences. I don't even know if it's called the devil's grass or the devil's lettuce. Like that's how, like, out of the world I am. Mm-hmm. And you're an advocate and a longtime medicinal user. And so the point of this podcast was really to bring those two worlds together, because usually, like you said at the beginning, pot smokers would talk to pot smokers.
Oh, yeah.
Weed smokers would hang around with each other, right? The cannabis community hang out with other cannabis users, much like when I grew up in the church. You know, you didn't go outside because, you know, mm-hmm. you didn't know what they were going to bring into the conversation, and you felt that they weren't going to understand you. And then you'd have to be like, you don't want to use Christianese. And I'm sure there's cannabis users that use terms and are like, well, if I use this term, person on the outside's not. So you start to get into these bubbles.
Mm-hmm.
So this podcast was really about, what if we were to sit down, just the two of us, bring in some guests, and have opportunities to tell stories and have me be able to ask questions that maybe a cannabis user would never ask, an opportunity for me to learn, but an opportunity for you, our listeners, for guests to also learn that there's another side. And we're kind of, you know, there are people out there going, look, I'm not opposed to it. But I am. I just want to learn. I want to figure it out.
Well, on the other side too. I mean, like, I literally just had a conversation with a gentleman outside while I was smoking a joint before the podcast.
I think that's our producer Eric, actually.
No. Oh. I said old man, didn't I?
That's why I said Eric.
No, Eric's not an old man.
Close the curtain, Eric. He's looking right in on us. It's very creepy right
he's
now.
He's giving you the cut eye. So I was actually outside speaking with an old man, and we had a very short conversation about cannabis. And he had told me he had never tried it because he was not stupid. And within a very short conversation, hopefully, I was able to sway his opinion a little bit, because I had straight out at the end of the conversation asked him, do I appear to be stupid after this conversation? And he said, no. Why? And I said, well, you do realize that this is, I said that I've been consuming marijuana since I was 16. And he said, oh, you need to stop. And my response to him was, you do realize that this is marijuana right here. And he was like, no way. And completely blown away at the fact that, hi, marijuana user right here, clearly not stupid or a murderer or a rapist like they lead you to believe in well, that movie, well, Reefer
in
Madness.
In the movie Reefer Madness, which we're going to talk about later as well, because one of Mary Jane's goals, I think it's a life goal in general, is to make me watch cannabis movies. So that journey is going to unfold during this podcast.
Yes.
There will be opportunities. We're going to talk about Reefer Madness a little while later in this show. But in future shows, I'm going to do cinema reviews, as Mary Jane introduces me to the cannabis world through the cannabis culture, through pop culture, through movies and films. And I'm sure we'll go down some other routes. But if Reefer Madness is any indication of what kind of journey I'm about to go on, that is one crate. You guys literally run people over with cars.
Jump out windows and everything.
So that's really what, and I think what we want to do too is break down the stigma, right? Like, not just because I'm stuck in this enclosed space with her right now, but I will honestly say, like, you are not a killer. Like, I don't fear for my life currently.
Thank
although
you.
There are some people out there that think, you know, weed is going to make you completely and utterly mad. I think the reality is that if you're already crazy, weed just, you know, you're going to be crazy whether you smoke it or not.
See, I use that as the lazy argument, you know. You're not that person's not lazy because they smoked weed. They're just a
right.
lazy
they're,
person.
They're lazy. Yeah.
Exactly.
And I think you really break down the stigma. I wouldn't have known when I first met you. I think one of the downsides of the pop culture that I've known just through knowing pop culture that I'm going to find in these movies is that some of that stigma is actually been brought out of a culture that has enforced the stereotypes from the cannabis culture itself.
Yep.
That they've created this kind of perception.
Absolutely.
That now people buy into. And so I think that's what we want to do on this show is if you're a cannabis user or a non-cannabis user, we hope that you'll be able to watch and listen as we talk about this very important issue now, as people are still battling now with the whole legalization.
Mm-hmm.
And we're based up here in Canada, which had its legalization already. But that's what we want to do here on the show. Before we go into one more story, I just want to say, if this is at all in interest to you, we will be doing these shows weekly, and you'll be able to find us all over the web as we just try to talk about cannabis from both sides. So let's talk about the first time that I smoked. What were you thinking going into this thing? Because I was apprehensive. Mm-hmm. Super interested, but I mean, clearly, you know, life has gone on for me and it's kind of like, you know, it's a long time of not having, so why would you start even trying something like that? So I was apprehensive, but excited at the same time. What were you thinking?
I was actually really nervous because I wasn't sure how you were going to react to it.
Mm-hmm.
So we made sure that we got a very low THC cannabis strain and, we did it outside by the water. I didn't think you were going to jump in the water, so it was safe.
According to Reefer Madness, I would have, like, jumped in for sure.
That's true. But I tried to put you in a very calm environment, keep you relaxed. And it was actually a really good experience because... Well, good.
Because nothing bad happened.
Yeah, nothing bad happened, but nothing happened at all.
Well, that was the thing that was a little bit concerning to me because all of these years of my life, I had been, you know, it had been put into my brain that this is, if you ever smoked cannabis, it is going to be like this crazy, weird experience, and nothing happened. I was disappointed. I was almost, it was this huge letdown. I was like, here I am with my very first joint, mm-hmm. you know, feeling like I'm doing something wrong, smoking quietly down by the river, and nothing was happening in my brain. And I was like, well, I don't even know what the point of this is.
Well, talk about a letdown. I paid for it, and he got nothing out of it. So, yeah, I was pretty let down, too.
Look, quite frankly, I've never paid for weed. That is true. But let's go back a couple steps as we and we'll build back through this because we get to this point where we're both sitting on this edge of the water here. You're helping me experience my first experience with cannabis. What was your very first experience with cannabis?
That's really interesting, Timmy. I think I sat down with you the other day to try and pinpoint where, when, who. And I honestly, I cannot tell you my first smoking a joint experience.
It's just you and I. Go ahead, you can tell me.
Honestly, I don't remember because I didn't get high either. I smoked numerous times before getting high. And I remember the first time I got high. I can tell you that.
Hey, that's what the show is for.
Okay, so I remember when I was at a house party.
How old were you?
I was 14. Okay. Somebody said, you know, come and did you want to smoke a joint? I said, sure, because I had smoked weed like 4 or 5 times, never got high. Sure, let's go smoke a joint. Mm-hmm. So, okay, now it's coming back. Side effect. Okay. So,
okay. So right now we are in a detox situation.
We are.
She hasn't had a puff in a couple hours. Her brain is clearing and she is about to remember things should we bring in a couch? Do we need a couch to be brought into this padded room that we're already
no,
in?
No. Okay. That's funny. The padded room. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So, my dad was the first one, that had me, or not had me, allowed me to try cannabis. Same with alcohol. He always believed that it was safest to try at home under the circumstance of a parent. So when I had, I guess my, now I'm thinking my dad must have had really weak weed because I went to this party and I smoked a joint and I was like, and he's like, you should probably like slow down a little bit. That's really strong. And I'm like, no. I'm good. No problem. I got it. And my friend Anna bust in the bedroom and's like, the pizza's here. Come get it with me. And we lived in an apartment building. So not thinking, I'm like, sure, leave the apartment. And I swear to God, that hallway that we were walking down just kept getting longer and longer. It was like one of those movies where you see the door and then all of a sudden it's like tunnel vision. Mm-hmm. And she's walking down the hall all fast and getting further and further away from me. And I can't seem to understand why I'm not going as fast.
Right.
So clearly that was just the, you know.
Now, I would just like to make a personal note when I know that this is a true story of your first experiences with weed, because I have never seen you go... I've never seen that. That's clearly a begin. I didn't even know how to hold. I didn't know how to hold a cigarette. I didn't know idea how to even. But I'd never seen.
And I, this way?
I definitely didn't do that either.
No.
Okay, so talk to me a little bit about then the journey that proceeds from that. Like you get those first early experiences. Nothing really happens. You get this tunnel vision hallway, which is really creepy. You find out your dad is buying horrible weed. There's a lot of things that are coming into your brain that is probably shocking you. You know, I mean, if you're gonna look up to anybody, it's your dad. And then you find out he's got weak weed. Like there's a whole lot of stuff in there. But so what happens in that journey then? Like where do you go from there?
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so I continued using, I want to say cannabis. Okay, so
you
I continued.
Can't say marijuana.
Can't say marijuana.
No, I learned that the hard way, folks.
I continually used marijuana recreationally, cannabis recreationally. And I want to say recreationally, but in reality, I was smoking 2 joints a day, every day. Okay. And it's interesting to me because I started doing that after grade 9, in the summer, in between grade 9 and grade 10. So in grade 9, my grades were C's and D's. Okay. In grade 10, they went to B's and A's. And then continuing all through high school, I got really good marks. Mm-hmm. And I attributed that to cannabis. And I say that because in grade 9, when the teacher gave me an English assignment and was like, here, I need you to write this, I would write it and I'd move on. But in grade 10, when the teacher would give me an assignment, I'd smoke a joint and I would write it. It would be like 5-10 pages long.
Oh, see, so I'm actually glad that I didn't smoke weed growing up because I didn't do any schoolwork. And knowing now that it would have caused me to do schoolwork would have eliminated so much free time that I had given myself. So I'm actually quite glad now that I didn't have that experience. I didn't realize it was going to make me a better student.
Well, I don't think that's for everybody, Timmy.
Okay.
Yeah.
So You go through, so now you're finding it's getting, you're helping. Now, for the record, we're not doctors.
No. No,
this might not happen to everybody, but it definitely was helping your ability to maybe remember, process, function.
To be able to focus. So around the same time, I had also gone to the doctor, and the doctor had said I was suffering from anxiety and depression, and put me on some pharmaceuticals for that. And I found that maybe it was using the both together, the pharmaceuticals and the cannabis together, I'm not sure. But I just found that the pharmaceuticals didn't do what they promised they would do. Mm-hmm. And I was finding the same relief on cannabis. So I just stopped taking the pharmaceuticals. And I find that the cannabis allowed me to focus.
Okay.
So I just assumed, you know, I'm not depressed anymore. Like the typical, I'm not depressed anymore, so I don't need those pills. And I just continued to consume cannabis all the way through adulthood up until it's probably about 27 is when the doctor had said, hey, you do know that you've been medicating with cannabis for your entire life. And I was in shock because, I mean, I had heard around that time, it was about 2005 or 2000 and no, 2000 and I don't know. Anyways, my brain's foggy on years. But when the doctor had explained it to me, they were doing cannabis for cancer, cannabis for like severe ailments and diseases, not for anxiety, not for depression, not for, you know, PTSD and all those other things. You had to have something severe in order to get a medical license at that time. And the doctor had also said, but it's not covered, where with me being on disability, pharmaceuticals are covered. So here, try these. So then I ended up back on pharmaceuticals, which then led to lethargy and basically just not being able to function, being a zombie, not wanting to get up in the morning, take my kids to school. It was so many, the negative side effects and the negative list was outweighing the benefits.
So you were actually experiencing a legitimate pharmaceutical commercial, which says, hey, this will get rid of your headache.
Yeah.
And by the way, let's spend 20 seconds talking about all the things that might possibly go wrong. Yeah. Now, that may or may not happen with everybody who uses them. But once again, you know, I think this is where it's so hard when people try to put like this black and white line, or you know, a line in the sand, or split it up and say cannabis is wrong. Mm-hmm. Or it's like, no, I think everybody's really got to have to look at their own personal journeys and mm-hmm. say whatever it did for you
yep.
doesn't necessarily mean it does for everyone else. But these stories need to be told to sit there and say, look, this is not about just saying, hey, get rid of something because this is good or this is bad. It's everybody's life journey and everybody's genetics, everybody's personal experiences are going to play a role into whether or not this could be helpful or not.
Well, absolutely. Like I'm not trying to compare cannabis to strawberries by any means.
No, strawberries actually would kill me. If I had strawberries, my throat would close up.
This is my point, because you're allergic to strawberries. Mm-hmm. I have never heard anybody dying from consuming cannabis. There has never been any recorded deaths due to cannabis. So they don't ban strawberries.
They should, though. I actually am becoming an advocate, because if I can't have strawberries, who should be able to have strawberries, right?
Okay. But right. My point behind that is what you were saying is it's not for everybody.
Right. Well, and I actually grew up believing that, you know, on that side of it shouldn't be for anybody, mm-hmm. right? There will be people now, and we might even have people like this on the show in the future, people who believe that cannabis is talked about in the Bible, mm-hmm. All those things. You know, I grew up in a world that wanted nothing to do with it, didn't believe it was, you know, almost pretended that it wasn't, you know, a thing. You know, well, you talk about it as if it's a plant, which it is.
Yes.
It's a plant. But I grew up in a world, in a religious world that, you know, linked it up with any other drug that you can get on a shelf, or, you know, it's the same as alcohol, it's the same as smoking, mm-hmm. just, you know, whatever you would call smoking, you yeah. know, regular smoking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know?
like.
Yeah, that one. So, Yeah. So for me, but like the way you always talk about it is it's like it's a plant. It would be like, you know, like pulling a carrot out of the ground.
Some people do argue that it is a vegetable. Some people argue that it's a flower.
I grew up in a world that believed it made you a vegetable.
There you go. And that's why we're doing the show, is because I would like to explain to people, especially people that don't know much about cannabis, that there's more to it than just this demonized drug that you've been told about in, you know, since 1937 when the Reform Act first came out.
Cool. Well, I can tell you that the journey that I have come from being somebody who knew nothing about it, plain ignorance. It wasn't a matter, and it was probably, I don't know. I almost want to say that it was like planned ignorance. Like people deliberately kept you in the dark from certain things. And that happens a lot in the religious circle, but it happens a lot in any circle. People assume that if it's outside of their comfort level, their world, the world that they're in, religious, political, whatever it be, if you're on the outside of that, the answer to most people is don't even talk about it, lest it draw you away. Like everybody somehow believes that their world of belief and the things that they've experienced in life are so true and so right, and yet they don't even want to talk about anything on the outside because what if somebody leaves for that better world? And then you have to question whether or not they really believe that they have the truth in the first place. But I think that's happening a lot in regards to cannabis. Some people, they just don't want to talk about it. It's not even a matter of we think it's wrong. It's like we don't even want to have the conversation.
So this, you're talking from the outside of the cannabis community, right?
Yeah.
Because it sounds to me, because all of this stuff that you're describing about wanting to stay within the box and that cannabis consumers in a whole, I think this is a side effect of cannabis, to be honest, that it activates a part of your brain that makes you think and question and makes you look outside of the box to wonder what's on the other side,
right?
To have these discussions with people that you may not agree with, to be able to hear their side and to be able to say, I agree to disagree.
Well, and I hope that's what happens. I mean, it's happened in our conversations. As much as it's easy to make a statement of like, you're the doobie, I'm the newbie, and I'm just going to learn from you. Mm-hmm. I think what we've learned is that there are things that you're learning from me and I'm learning from you. And this isn't just about, like some people would look at this and go, oh, so Timmy, you kind of grew up in the church and now you're a clean comedian. And in fact, that's a whole other discussion about whether or not cannabis jokes could be considered clean. I mean, that's something that I hope to get into on future episodes as well. Like, you know,
but just cannabis in the church alone, after meeting Timmy, I've had to go to numerous churches and we're there for hours. So like, you know, I'm consuming while I'm there. So it's been very interesting, to say the least.
Yeah. So, but we're learning from both things. And it's not like, I think the fear of some people would be like, oh, well, so Timmy, now you're dating a consumer. Now, you're
dating a pothead.
They're almost surprised. Well, not almost surprised. They're very surprised almost all the time that I don't smoke, because the mentality is clearly she's going to draw you into her world.
That was the funniest comment I had ever heard somebody say, that I was going to draw you in.
Right?
Like I'm a devil or some sort of thing.
Well, and on the other side, though, there'd be other people who'd be like, oh, so Timmy can now, maybe he can convert her. He can bring her in. It's like and yet what's happening isn't this whole thing of like, I want to bring you into my world and I'm going to bring you into my world.
No.
It's about, we've been really finding this nice space about learning each other's worlds and figuring out how to work within that, within those worlds without necessarily, you know, I'm not going to become a pothead, and you're not going to become a Christian, and who knows where...
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Right? Who knows where this journey...
I'm not sharing my weed with you.
Yeah. I mean, and my journey in faith is a whole different discussion about where I'm at in that journey of faith right now, too. But I think that's the whole point, is that we're both at this place of life, which I hope others who are listening to the show are at that place too. And if you're not there, that you can get there, where we just want growth. And we're not, you're not the same person you were when you first started smoking weed at 14. I'm not the same person I was when I was growing up in the church literally born. I think I was born in the pew. My mom doesn't ever pew.
Pew, pew. Wait. Can I say? Oh, I didn't say Pepe first. We're good.
Oh, yeah, no, you can't say. The fact that we're even talking about cannabis now in a world that thinks Pepe Le Pew should be canceled is a whole different thing. I'm kind of worried about. I think actually when they'll sit down and try to figure out what they should edit, and because we're trying not to edit any of it, the plan is not to edit the show.
That's true.
But they might look at all the censorships that are out there right now and go, literally the only thing they can say is, "Hi, I'm Timmy," and then because MJ and Mary Jane, that would be, maybe that's controversial. So, like, literally this, all of this thing, nobody's even going to hear this. It literally could just be a podcast that says, "Hi, I'm Timmy." And then it's just like this mark that just says the rest of this cannot be broadcast because of social.
Just one long beep, yeah, all the way through.
People are very, very uncomfortable with it. So as a clean comedian, too, we tour. You come on my tours with me, and we're constantly in this environment where everything is, pun intended, sanitized, socially sanitized. Mm-hmm. And you don't ever say you're a cannabis user.
No, I don't dress like this when I go into.
But it's funny that your name. So you changed your name.
I did.
Legally along the way.
I did. I actually became legally Mary Jane Baker the year that cannabis became legal.
Yeah, see, now, like, if you're going to change your name, well, like, that's the time to do it, right? But what's funny is that when we go to do a show and she introduces herself as Mary Jane, first of all, Mary Jane, let alone the Baker part.
Yeah, I always say Baker because I'm so proud of the Mary Jane Baker. I'm testing people.
Yeah, and here's where the test ultimately comes down. We have discovered how to find the secret pot smokers from the non-pot smokers, because when she says her name is Mary Jane, right, we get two responses. Yep. It's either, oh, from Spider-Man, non-consumer, or, oh, Mary Jane, right? So consumer. So just by changing your name to Mary Jane Baker, you have already become, you have like this cannabis radar, yeah, out there. People will.
That was a side effect that I didn't have any inkling was going to happen. But it was very interesting watching people go, "Oh my God, your parents must have been like hippies or something." And I was like, "No, I just paid for it myself."
So let's talk about the legalization sure. aspect of it. You are now an advocate. A model.
Yeah, I dabble a little bit.
Yeah. You dabbled a little bit enough, though.
I caught somebody's radar because I ended up in the newspaper, and I'm so proud. One of the shoots that I did was released on Legalization Day, so I'm proud to say I was Miss Legalization, I guess.
Yeah,
in Canada.
Well, and we have the paper here. So this is from what's the date?
October
17th, 2018.
That's
October 17th, 2018. For the kids out there, we used to look out of papers.
And look, it says Reefer Madness on the corner.
Right at the top. That's the movie we're going to talk briefly about here as we're getting ready to move on here. High on Tory. So many good puns. Anyways, so should we show this? Do you want to see this?
Sure. Okay.
So on the back page, the reason why I bought the Toronto Sun in the very first place for years, because when I was growing up, just for the record, we didn't have like the internet. Like I'm one of those people that, you know, wasn't around before, you know, when the internet. And so as a young hormonal boy, I wasn't going to, and a Christian boy, so I wasn't going to be going into the stores and buying magazines.
But so you're like a Sears catalog type kid?
I was
kid?
A Sears catalog, okay. National Geographic, Toronto Sun, Sunshine Girl kid.
So many boys
I had Sunshine Girls taped like in crazy spots all around my house. Like it was kind of like, it was like a James Bond room in essence. If you walked in my room looked really nice. And then if I locked the door though, I turn over pillows and there'd be Sunshine Girls like hidden everywhere. Like it was looking back kind of weird, maybe creepy even at that point, but it was the only way I could cope. And then, you know, thank God the internet came along. But anyways, so you're actually in here.
Yes.
I don't know which camera we can go with. But that's that is Mary Jane. That was you a couple years ago on Legalization Day.
It was. They actually put in the paper print, it has the cannabis leaves in it, but on the digital print online they didn't have that.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was like an extra.
When you even got right up here. You even got up at the top there, a little special thing.
I know. My dad called me right away and was like, hey, they put your face in the front. They never put the face in the front. And I was like, okay, Dad, thank you. He's like, I bought 12 copies.
Now, you're actually wearing.
I am.
You're wearing the outfit that you wore back on that day.
I did. Did you see the pants? Those pants are killer. I got them at T-shirt time. So we're just looking, cannabis look pants, at the pants, and they literally feel like you're not wearing anything. And they're one size
fits
all.
So you're wearing them right now?
I am. I normally don't do promo unless I absolutely love a product, and I absolutely love this product.
Well, I love the product as well. And so because today is actually National Lookalike Day,
yes.
I felt it was very important. Can we do this? So... I don't know what you can see or what you can't see.
Can we show Timmy's pants?
I don't know how we. Let's see if we kind of come in. Yeah, look at that. This is your opportunity, folks, to take screenshots, whatever it may be. I don't. I don't know. This room is so small. I don't know how to best pose, but. But you know this might be able to be something that you can it's all good. It's all good. Now I know you weren't able to hear a lot about that because I was so far away from the mic, but visually worth every penny. So if you're just listening to this podcast, you probably are going to want to find the video footage somewhere.
Absolutely,
because that was worth the price of admission right there. These pants really really fit well.
And it's like you're not wearing anything, right?
No, it's not. And one of these shows, I might not be. Quite frankly, I love the shows that doing comedy now because of COVID in virtual worlds where I'm only shot from waist up. I haven't worn pants on a comedy show for like over a year now. One of the most freeing experiences I've ever had. And for the record, I let people know that ahead of time. You know, I don't hide that. I'm not.
But we could probably talk to the producer and see if we can arrange moving the camera so that way that's possible here as well.
Yeah, well, and there's, Naked Gardening Day is coming up. I always celebrate that. That might be an episode. Anyways, so let's end the show today, though. Just I want to talk about Reefer Madness briefly. And in the future, we're going to talk about some other movies that you are going to force me to watch. Them to try to understand thing. But Reefer Madness, if you haven't seen Reefer Madness, there is literally nothing like this show, this movie. When did it come out? 1930-something?
1937.
And Reefer Madness, I think, is there's two things about it. Number one, the name implies that reefers, cannabis, would...
That's correct.
Will make you mad, like not angry, crazy.
Yeah.
But it's also in this a world that it's like it's mad. It's gone mad about cannabis on both sides. There are the adamant supporters and the adamant opposers, mm-hmm. right? And there's a madness around it. It's like it's almost impossible to have these conversations.
Yep.
Because of everybody's so it's a volatile topic. you know, some people on both sides, you know, don't want to hear, you know, if you try to talk to someone and say it's not good for medicine, and those people are very adamant that it is, and there just becomes a lot of intense conflict. But let's just talk briefly about this movie. This is a unofficial cinema review, which we'll do some more of those on future episodes. But talk to me about the purpose of the movie, and then I'll share my thoughts. Okay. What I saw, and I will never ever forget seeing. It was amazing.
Okay, so I actually had to do a little bit of research on this movie because I wasn't sure if it was satire or if it was like propaganda or right. what exactly it was. And turns out it was funded by a church organization in the 30s to help, like in conjunction with. What do they call those? Parent boards. Never okay. been one of those. You yeah. know, like the kids, you know, save the children. But it was basically initially called Tell Your Children. Okay. And it was to try and scare the parents into scaring their children mm-hmm. away from this terrible, terrible plant called cannabis.
Well, and it literally said, I took a couple notes here as I was watching it because I couldn't not watch this thing without taking some notes. But it actually starts off by saying, you know, what you're about to watch may startle you. And for the record, absolutely startled me, but in an incredibly humorous way. I don't think they accomplished their goal. I don't know what it was like back in the 30s and early 40s when this thing was first put out. But if their intention was to make people be afraid of cannabis... I think it had the opposite. It comes across way more as a comedy. Now things have changed since then. Some horrible acting back then, but so it's black and white. My first question was who made this, right? And so I'd encourage you, look, this isn't a promotion for it. I think is it actually public domain now or something? Oh, is that the bell? Show's done. I don't know what that
was. No, something just fell. We're good there.
All right. Okay. So, but. Yeah, listen, if this doesn't make you want to watch the movie, I don't know what will, right? There's the piano player with the devil hair, okay? Mm-hmm. The piano player looked absolutely crazy, had the devil hair.
He had a part right down the middle.
To create horns.
That spells crazy.
Yeah, he had the horns. They colored the smoke. So they wanted to make sure, because it was a black and white.
I was going to say it was colored. They put it in Technicolor.
They put it in Technicolor, and then even for extra effect... added color to the smoke. So
the cannabis smoke only,
was
not
blue and green and pink, but the cigar smoke and cigarette smoke was regular smoke. So they wanted to make you really know this is like a chemical. When really, if you think about it, the regular smoke, the cigarette smoke is actually, you know, probably more chemical than anyways. But it was a mix of Dirty Dancing and Footloose. It was this crazy, you know, crazy dancing thing. And literally like an older man got run over by a car. People got killed. One guy just laughed constantly for like the entire movie. Yep. So creepy. It was in a lot of ways, it was probably... They wanted to make it look like cannabis was evil when really it was like the mob-like pedophile ring that was kind of running this underground cannabis thing and trying to draw the children in. Mm-hmm. And the children were all kind of in their late 40s. I mean, those are some pretty old kids. But anyways... but actually, when I think about it, and I was watching all this thing, and I was seeing all like the horrible things that were happening. The most horrible thing, for the record, though, was that Bill started smoking cannabis, and then his tennis game—he became a bad tennis player. And I really related to that because the second time that I smoked cannabis with you,
the first time you got high,
that I actually felt the effects. We were bowling, and I'm a really good bowler, and
I actually did pretty good that game.
Yeah, my score came down, and that was the first warning sign that I am not going to be smoking cannabis for the rest of my life because I cannot risk my bowling game at all. In fact, the third time that I smoked cannabis, I couldn't understand what you were saying. I kept phasing out.
Well, it's not that you couldn't understand. It was my fault. I got him a really, really heavy indica, almost like 25% THC, and he did what indica does best. He just vegged out and just like... at the TV. So
I did not, I can tell you quite honestly, I did not like the the disconnect in my mind. And you will explain it as certain things, and other people say, oh, that's
well,
that's
they call
a
it a strain for every pain. So you would use that strain for nighttime relief, okay. Not for sitting down and chatting with somebody. That was me. I set him up for failure.
See, and that's what I'm learning. But I have chosen from those points. I could not, regardless of that one, I can't risk my bowling score. But in this movie, Reefer Madness, Bill's tennis game falls apart. But all I kept thinking when that movie was over was all of these, like people were literally killed, and it was a horrible, horrible thing. And then I'm looking over at Gio, and I'm like, this is how I die. Like, she literally is going to kill me now because she does.
It's bedtime, Timmy.
Yeah, that might have been the last time I never was going to wake up again. So anyways, I hope.
Do we still have time for Y420?
Before let's do that, because we do have to wrap up here. Okay. I've already been getting the signals from our evil producer, Eric.
See, and I have my back towards them for a reason.
So let's just do this reason why 420 is important, and then we're going to wrap this thing up and say goodbye to you, and hopefully you'll join us again in a future episode. So take it away, Mary Jane Baker.
Okay. So back in 1971, there were 5 students at a high school in California. We're going to call them the Waldos because they met by the wall every day after their extracurricular activities at, you guessed it, 4:20 p.m. The group started using the term 4:20 as their code, as in, like, let's go get high. So later on, one of these 5 ended up working on the road with the Grateful Dead. Next, one of the Deadheads used the 4:20 reference and made a flyer inviting people to come to their come at 4:20 on April 20th to get high. Now, one of those flyers just happened to be in the hands of Steve Bloom, who was working at High Times. That was 1990. So 1991, High Times started printing out the exact same flyer, 4:20, every 4:20, come and smoke up, and it's just kind of been a thing. So every April 20th, all of us get together, well, except for last year, and hopefully maybe we'll do it this year. Who knows? But my question to all of you guys is, who do you think is responsible for 4:20? Mm-hmm. Would it be the Waldos? Would it be the Deadheads? Or would it be Mr. Bloom?
Well, here's the thing. What you can do is you can go online. Tell us who you think is responsible for 4:20. What is it? The Deadheads, Mr. Bloom, or
the Waldos?
Or the Waldos. It sounds like we're playing a game of Clue. Who did it? But you can find us on all the social media platforms. We literally are the newbie and the doobie all across social media.
That's right.
As well as on our Patreon account, which we'd love to have you support so we can keep this podcast on the air. And is that everything? I think that's it for today.
I think that's it.
Thanks for joining us. Great show.
Awesome.
Day 1.
We did it.
It's done. So what's your sign-off again? Do that sign-off, the official sign-off.
Oh, yes. Stay lifted.
And keep on laughing. I'm Timmy Boyle.
And I'm Mary Jane Baker.